Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura Adams. I have recently finished my master's degree in the Department of Soil Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison under the advision of Dr. Francisco Arriaga. And for my research, we focused on dairy forage systems and finding ways to reduce runoff and erosion losses while continuing to be highly productive. So for this research, we focused on using cover crops in these systems. So Wisconsin is the dairy land of America. We have over almost 10,000 farms, more than 1 million cows, and it accounts for a large portion of Wisconsin's economy, so it's very important to us. And in dairy forage systems, cows eat a lot of corn silage. It's high quality feed. But when you produce corn silage and you harvest it, you harvest the entire biomass. So you leave not much residue behind on the soil. And of course, with over 1 million cows, you have lots of manure. And to manage this, farmers tend to put it back on the field to use as a nutrient source. But you can imagine in this type of system, it's highly a higher vulnerability to erosion and nutrient losses due to the fact that there is little residue left on the soil. We might be familiar with this type of image. So Mississippi watershed, large amount of the United States runs down into the Gulf of Mexico, and a lot of nutrients go with it due to agriculture causing eutrophication in Gulf of Mexico. And in Wisconsin alone, more than 400,000 hectares of lakes and 83,000 kilometers of streams do not meet state quality water standards, and this is mostly due to phosphorus and sediment losses. So for this research, we focus on cover crops and use cover crops to try and reduce these impacts. So to start, we want to make sure, kind of find out, is using cover crops, is it a method Wisconsin farmers will use or have the potential to use? So to find this out, we created a survey and we distributed it throughout the entire state. We got 165 completed surveys returned back to us, giving us just over a 30% response rate. And out of 165 responses, more than 86% of respondents said, yes, we have used cover crops in the past 5 years. So that was great to see. Out of those 86% of respondents that did use them, their top benefits to using cover crops was to reduce soil erosion, improve soil health, or to increase soil organic matter. So a lot of long-term soil benefits. So really interested in that long-term, their long-term soil. So that was great to see. On the flip side of things, participants that did not use cover crops, the main factors that prevented their use was due to time, labor, and money. So kind of what we expected to see. One of my favorite parts about conducting this survey was to see the respondents that said other, and they wrote, a lot of respondents wrote in their own original response, and I've included all of those. So other write-in responses, these are all verbatim, kind of grouped them together. So they just couldn't fit cover crops into their rotation or their operation. They just couldn't find a way to incorporate them. There's no place for it. Or, you know, Wisconsin gets very cold. We have long winters, just not long enough growing season. My all-time favorite answer to not using cover crops is dad doesn't want to. So dad doesn't want to grow them, we won't. And finally, the research just doesn't seem complete or inconclusive. So a lot of valid reasons to not using them. We can continue to work towards finding solutions to those issues. But still, 86% of Wisconsin farmers are using cover crops, so we decided it's good to continue this research. So our first objective of the study was to find and see how cover crops impact productivity. So again, back to our dairy forage system in Wisconsin. Here in our corn silage production, if we use cereal rye, which is quite hardy, it can survive our harsh winters. In addition, we can harvest this in the spring to be used as additional feed. So our experimental setup, we were just north of Madison, Wisconsin, in the southern part of the state. We had 6 different treatments, 3 conventionally tilled and 3 no-tilled treatments, with 3 cover crop treatments. So no cover crop, cereal rye that was chemically terminated in the spring, and cereal rye that we then harvested in the spring. Our plot sizes were just over 0.2 hectares large, so we could use full-size farm equipment. And throughout this entire research, we kept thinking back, how would a typical Wisconsin farmer manage their farm? In our planting, so our no-cover crop or our cover crop chemically terminated treatments, we planted corn the first week of May at a 107-day maturity rating seed. Our cover crop harvested treatments, however, we waited until the first week of June, giving us a full entire month longer so that cover crop, that rye, could really grow. We could harvest much more biomass, and then planted a 98-day maturity rating seed, and then harvested all at the same time, mid-September. Okay, jumping into results. 2014, we did not see any differences in yields, and we attributed that to, back in 2013, our cereal rye was planted quite late, small biomass in the spring. Again, back to a typical farmer, we didn't think they would even harvest that cereal rye, so we didn't either, and we planted same corn on all the treatments. However, in 2015, we start to see some differences. So focusing on the conventionally tilled plots, we see cereal rye harvested being a bit greater than the cereal rye with no cover crop treatments. In 2016, regardless of tillage, the cereal rye harvested was greater than the other two treatments. And here you can really start to see when you harvest that cereal rye and that additional biomass, then you have greater yields. So two out of three years you start to see differences. We also took cereal rye and we analyzed the cereal rye plant material for quality parameters. So with the quality parameters, we could then use the yields and put it into a equation to calculate and estimate milk production, so total milk production. Again, in 2014, we did not see any differences. And this time in 2015, there were no differences when looking at total milk production. 2016, however, we see cover crop being a main effect, significantly different. And with the cereal rye harvested, is greater than just having a cover crop that was chemically terminated. So again, 1 out of 3 years, we start to see these differences. Okay, our second objective of the study was to now quantify sediment and phosphorus losses. So looking at water quality, how do cover crops play a role? We have our same experimental setup. However, due to funding and time restraints, now we just focus on a no cover crop compared to having a cover crop present. And to do this, we conducted rainfall simulations using a rainfall simulator suspended 10 feet from the ground using an oscillating nozzle. Each simulation lasted 60 minutes, where we continuously collected the runoff produced, and then we took a mixed sample after 60 minutes to analyze for sediment and phosphorus losses. We conducted these simulations in June, October, and April, so different timings of the crop cycle. In June, corn was in the V3 stage. October was after corn silage harvest, after manure injection, and after rye was seeded. And rye was just over about 12 centimeters tall. And then in April, rye was much thicker, a lot more soil coverage. And again, each simulation lasted 60 minutes at a 7.6 centimeter per hour rate, which is about a 50 to 100 year storm, which is actually becoming much more common in our state. And through all of this, we use deionized water. Jumping into results, for total runoff, we see we have our June, October, and April timings on the x-axis with total runoff depth in millimeters. And we see the biggest difference being in April. With our cover crop present, we reduce total runoff by more than 45%. When analyzing the sediment load, I averaged across all 3 months for this, and when averaged across all three simulation timings, with the presence of cover crop, we reduce the sediment load more than 50%. So really having our soil covered, we really could reduce whatever sediment loads the rainfall simulations were causing. When looking at phosphorus, now here we have our phosphorus load in grams per hectare on the y-axis, and now again averaged across all three simulation timings. So we have our no cover crop compared to our cover crop, regardless of tillage. Our total phosphorus is in the diagonal lines, and then we have particulate P and total dissolved P, which the sum of that equals all of our total phosphorus. Now we do see a significant reduction in particulate phosphorus and total phosphorus with the presence of cover crop. And we attribute the reduction in total phosphorus to the reduction of particulate P, because we see that our dissolved P, there's no significant drop with cover crop present. Again, with dissolved reactive P, we do not see a significant reduction. However, bioavailable P, which is attributed to algal growth and causing algal blooms with eutrophication, we do see significant drop in BAP with cover crops present. So just to sum up, total phosphorus was reduced 42% when averaged across all three simulation timings. However, that's attributed to that particulate P really being reduced almost 44% with cover crops. And then our bioavailable P was reduced nearly 34% with our cover crop. Okay, to sum up the conclusions of this research, so back to our survey, we found that yes, indeed, Wisconsin farmers are using cover crops. There are still a couple barriers that we need to overcome, but it's looking positive for the state. In our double cropping system of corn silage and cereal rye, there is potential to increase overall yields in milk production. We saw 1 out of 3 years we did have significant increases. Pertaining to water quality, with cereal rye present, runoff, sediment loads, phosphorus loads, they were all reduced with cover crops. On all of this, though, tillage had very minimal effect. And we attribute this to, so my plots were established in 2013, so only 3 to 4 years had tillage implements being conducted on them, so that might not be long enough to truly see how tillage plays a role in all of this. So really long-term studies would be ideal to really see how these methods and strategies affect our soil properties. With that, I'd like to thank you and all of our funding sources, and take any questions. Yeah.
Can you quickly explain how you assess bioavailable phosphorus?
Yes. Thinking back to the method, so in the lab, so we used, I filtered the runoff, and then we used a paper strip method, impregnated paper strip method. I can definitely talk to you about it afterwards. It was a kind of highly intensive laboratory analysis.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you know still into the rye?
Yes. Yeah, so that is one of the, so it was a note, we call it no-till, but we did have to manure inject into the no-till, and we seeded into it as well, so it might not be a truly no-till, but we didn't have any tillage implements done to that soil.
Is injecting manure common practice?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Do you know the phosphorus content of the cover crop biomass?
I do not. We did not focus on any of the cover crop, what was in the cover crop, unfortunately. Yeah.
What was the slope for your rainfall study? What was the slope? You didn't say that, I
missed. No, it's very low slope, so 1 to 2% sloped soils.
Form across all your plots?
Across all the plots, yep. Great question.
Thank you for doing the work. Great stuff. I farm in Wisconsin. I'm one of those colonies, and
gotcha.
Cover crops are important. My question to you is this. I noticed that when you harvested the cover crop, you waited about a month to put that corn silage down, and you reduced the hybrid relative maturity by about like 10 or 11 days.
Yep.
My question is, did you notice any differences in whole harvested mid-September, and then my follow-up is, can you correct for that?
Yep.
Because there's some challenges with that from harvest.
Absolutely. So we did see that in that later maturity rating seed, it was higher moisture content. So we often, this past year especially, we had to wait longer to harvest it. So we just waited longer. Yep. Yep. And sorry, what was the second part to your question?
If you corrected for it, but if you had to
wait. Yep.
Then
yep.
For it.
Yep.
All right. We are running out of time over here. Let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.